The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Of God, if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, so you should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
So welcome to the fifth Sunday of Easter. A short gospel, maybe a short homily too. What do you think? I love the Easter readings. They are so full of great theology, and many of us either overlook it or take it for granted. One of my favorite things about Easter readings is the inclusion of Acts as the first reading. We all know that Acts is the book that pretty much tells us the history of the early church. These stories demonstrate to us how the church was formed after the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the inclusion of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Read Acts on your own as personal meditation, and you will be rewarded with divine inspiration. But today's Acts reading speaks of the zeal of the early church members. This is a story of how Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. These were hostile places because they were deep Jewish roots, and they resented the new Jewish sect that spoke of Jesus as their Savior. They knew that although they were far away, they had a hand in his crucifixion. Paul was actually stoned when he left for dead on his first trip to Lystra. So returning might have been very, very perilous. But they had established communities of believers in all these places, in all these regions. And their return was an attempt to strengthen these small communities and encourage them to continue with pastoral care, leadership, and structure. This was a pivotal time for the church because it was expanding from being perceived as just a Jewish sect, but more a universal structure that included Gentiles as well as Jews. The theme was perseverance in spite of hardship that they had endured. And the emphasis was on suffering, faith, and commitment to achieve the success of doing God's work of evangelization. They appointed elders, and they encouraged prayer and fasting to spread the word of God. And in their commitment to God and to one another, that made the community strong. It was these very hardships that the disciples endured and stood as an example of this idea of commitment. This reading challenges all of us to accept the costs and courage needed for true discipleship. In our second reading from Revelations, we see the fulfillment of the covenant between God and man. The sea was often represented in the Old Testament as chaos, danger, and separation. But the sea was no more. Its absence in this reading signifies the end of turmoil and the beginning of perfect peace. Bottom line, it is our trials are temporary, but God's promise is eternal. This brings us to the Gospel of John. In this story, we see Jesus renews his basic commandment just as Judas leaves the group to betray him. This was recognized as a transition point between Jesus' public ministry and what John calls Jesus' glorification. John always used as a metaphor glorification to mean Jesus' crucifixion, death, resurrection, and ascension. And so at this point, Jesus gives us a new commandment. The Jews have always had in their tradition love within their belief system. But Jesus added a new dynamic. Love one another as I have loved you. And what example did Jesus give to his disciples in this regard? He included a new twist. They all recognized that Jesus loved them selflessly, sacrificially, and most of all, unconditionally. Loving as Jesus does included loving those who doubt us or deny us or even betray us, as Judas did. That was Jesus' example given to them, and that is what he expected of us in return. Needless to say, it's not all that easy, but neither is accepting death on the cross to atone for our sins. So how can we, as humble followers of Jesus, love as he did? Well, let me explore three ways that might help us to do this. First, try to love with no expectations. Jesus washes the disciples' feet not because he expected them to do the same, but selfishly he offered to them hope that they were going to temporarily abandon him after his arrest. His love is unconditional. His love without an agenda, without ulterior motives. In doing so, he's showing us what kind of love this kind of love looks like. Second, let's love with vulnerability. This means that we love one another even though we know that love may not be returned. Jesus showed this kind of love by his example. He loved those who persecuted him, who tortured him, and even those who crucified him. People reject this kind of love because it causes pain. Jesus shows us this vulnerability is a necessity. It's a necessary component of true love. We recognize this, but we avoid this kind of love because it's risky. We avoid it because we know that we could become wounded. And sometimes we wish not to experience this. But Jesus demonstrates to us that this is the kind of love, although rather risky, that is truly only the only way towards experiencing the love of God. And last, thirdly, let us love those who are not like us. Jesus loved everyone, not just those close to him or those who followed him. Jesus loved all by his example. He loved the lepers, the prostitutes, the Samaritans, the sinners, the tax collectors, and even the poorest of the poor. He loved them all. That didn't mean he didn't challenge them, that his love was always ever present. The Old Testament command was to love your neighbor. But Jesus expanded that to include everyone, friends and foes alike. Jesus even asked us to love our enemies, not by loving their actions, but by loving the person and inviting them to change. This is how he approached this in his public life and through his ministry. Throughout all his life, he never loved sin, but always loved the sinner. This is a similar message that Pope Francis has told us to love all through his papacy. And now our new Pope Leo has declared the same thing in almost every homily that he has given since his selection. So how do we as mortal men emulate this kind of love? Well, it's really very simple, but very hard to do. We read scriptures, we go to Mass, we purposely put Jesus in our daily lives, all at the very beginning of the day, and we try to include him in our daily routines throughout our day, and that we pray often, or as Paul says, pray always, or as St. Francis of Assisi said, sometimes with words, because his point was that actions speak louder than words, and they glorify God much better. Such is the word of God. What that we be visible signs that God is within us, that God is instrumental in everything we do, and that the reflection of his love be visible in all who see us and all who we encounter. Your job, your assignment for today is to go forth and to show this love and carry it with you every day of our life. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.